question for you this morning. Have you ever been angry with God? Chances are that if you believe in God, you have been angry or at very least irritated with God. We get angry in life because we're disappointed. We get angry when things don't go our way. And what we think we want gets frustrated and confused. Oftentimes we get angry because of the evil we see in this world. And we feel helpless to change it. Somebody needs to be held responsible. So we indict God. Or we might find ourselves angry with God because things didn't turn out the way we planned, and somebody needs to be blamed. One of our loved ones dies too soon. Our baby is diagnosed with a health problem. A teenager takes to the streets and disappears. God is an easy target for our anger and our confusion. Much of the Exodus story is a story of people who are often mildly and sometimes wildly angry with their God. On the long journey through the wilderness, the Israelites are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you know what happens with that sort of irritation? It quickly turns into quarreling and complaining. They complain because there's no food. And in today's story, no water. Now they're even angry at having been delivered from the bondage of slavery into freedom. They whine out loud, "Why did you bring us out of the land of Egypt to kill us here with thirst?" I think those Israelites were good complainers. But you know what else? They knew that they were loved. They trusted in God enough to go off into the wilderness. But once there, they were angry at the injustice of the wilderness, the discomfort of their journey, the loss of their home. It was simply not fair. No food, no water, no manna, no permanent housing of any sort. Even slavery was better than freedom without the basic comforts of life. But you know something? It takes a certain level of trust to complain. It takes love to quarrel. When we love in relationship, all of the emotions are present. Fear and sadness and joy. And yes, anger and irritation. God hears the complaints of the people and he instructs Moses to strike a rock. And water flows from the rock for the people to drink. God's patient grace, so much stronger than our complaining, arrives through the miracle of life-sustaining water. To the people, it's the wilderness, the land of scarcity, but with God, scarcity turns into abundance and grace abounds. Life flows from a rock and water pours out of the hardness of a stone. Plenty overwhelms scarcity. And generosity embraces quarreling and complaining. The stories of the Exodus carve out the reality that no matter what the danger or the complaint or the quarrel, God's incredible generosity overwhelms the most difficult of situations. Think about it. The opening of the Red Sea, the spitting out of Jonah onto the land and new life. Bringing manna to the hungry people or causing water to flow from a rock. Like the Israelites, your own journey to freedom might not have been easy. You might still be disappointed, all of the hopes and the dreams of your life might not have come through. You know God's grace, but you might still have at least one or two complaints. If you look around yourselves in this room, there are enormous struggles right here. Some of us have struggled with life and felt our anger toward everybody else before we were willing to take responsibility for ourselves. Some of us here in this room have had terrible experiences of defeat, crushing experiences with grief that have caused us to raise our fists to the heavens and cry the words of the psalmist that were echoed by Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, sometimes it takes real anger, real despair, to come to know that God is present even in what we experience as God's absence. For the people in the wandering in the wilderness, there is a steady rhythm of praise and anger. Wonder at the marvelous deeds of God, and then returning to that time of complaining and quarreling, as if they needed to learn over and over again. Sometimes we're tempted to return to a past we know, as good or bad as it was, rather than face the anxiety of facing an unknown future. But we have a unique opportunity here in this church. As an open, accepting, welcoming congregation. If you haven't noticed, it's a different world out there. And if we are to survive as a community of faith, we have to respond to these changes that are all around us. It's time for us to ask some hard questions. Questions that will move us along on our journey as a congregation with a sense of purpose and a sense of mission. And if there's one thing that has impressed me over the last year, it is that you have that sense of mission. You have that sense of purpose. Like the people of the Exodus, we're moving into an unknown future. It's going to require of us faith and hope and love for God and for each other. We are like the Israelites in that we tend to not want to trust in the gracious presence of God among us and through us. We want to know it all today. Have the future in our hands. Or if we can't know the answer today, we'd like to return to what it used to be like, those old good days, rather than trust in God to lead us to something new. We need to trust in the incredible generosity of God in our midst. Trust in Him with our questions and our struggles. Trust in Him to know what's best for us. I'm talking about the Spirit of God, which is greater than any single desire or earthly longing. It is this God who we worship and this God who holds our future and the mission of this congregation in the palm of His hand. I'm convinced thoroughly that God will always supply us here with what we need. Let's remember that what we think we may want may get frustrated, and something even better will come along. It happened with Moses in the wilderness and the Israelites. They were tired and exhausted by all that they had been through. It was so bad they wanted to go back to Egypt, where there's food and water. But God responded to their fear and their anger by causing water to flow forth from the least likely place. hard rock in the middle of the desert burst forth with streams of living water. Sometimes what we think we want gets frustrated by God, who provides us with something surprising and amazing. His grace. I leave you with the words of the great theologian Augustine, who reminds us that hope has two beautiful daughters. Anger, so that what must not be cannot be. And courage, so that what can be will be. We need to be people on the move with a hope. A hope that people in this community say is different. Let our anger fuel us with a holy passion for justice and compassion. And let us have the courage to dream of a better world. Not only for ourselves, but for our children too. May it be so.